In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the essential, foundational, fundamental message of the Christian faith. God was in Christ. In Jesus, we see and know the creator of the entire universe. In the Rabbi of Nazareth, we come into contact with the one that created everything. We come into contact with the mysteries of God. And as I said last Sunday, in Jesus, we have the real abiding presence of God in our midst. This fundamental message of the Christian faith undergirds, it supports, it establishes the entire message of salvation. Justice, mercy, and grace. The entire message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The justice of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God is established in the presence of God in this world in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace. Every year, as the lectionary runs, I preach on several basic topics. I preach on faith. The nature of faith, the meaning of faith, what faith is and what faith is not. I preach on the real presence of Jesus in the means of grace, prayer, giving, worship, scripture, proclaiming, and of course the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. I preach on the function of Holy Communion, the meaning of Holy Communion, what Holy Communion both means to us and what it gives to us. I preach on forgiveness, its necessity, how we are called to forgive others, and we have no excuse to keep the sins of others against us, against them. We are called to forgive and forgive 70 times 7, which means always be forgiving. And at Christmas time and on through Epiphany, I preach on the incarnation of God in human flesh in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes I preach on these themes many times, repeatedly, over and over again throughout the year. Throughout these messages, however, constant in all of them is the theme and the message of grace. And I do indeed preach on grace specifically. I preach on its meaning. I preach on its function. I preach on its source and reality and its critical centrality for our Christian living. These are messages that I preach every year, repeatedly. I like to stick to the main themes of the Christian faith, the themes that have typified the faith across its 2,000 years of existence. And they are all undergirded and established and defined by grace. So, what is grace? The word translated grace in our English New Testaments is the Greek word charis. You see it up there on the screen, charis. Charis is a word that has a huge definition in the Greek dictionary. It means favor, it means love, it means unlimited, unrestricted, undeserved, unearned favor, an unrestricted, unearned, undeserved gift. Charis is not limited. Anytime you think of a limitation on charis, it surprises you. Charis is an unlimited, unearned, undeserved gift. There's nothing you can do to add to it. There's nothing you can do to change it. It is and it comes through no merit of our own. It is and it comes to us. We talk about prevenient grace, prevenient charis, as the grace of God that goes before us, before anything that we do, before we can even say yes. God's grace moves ahead of us. God's charis moves ahead of us to enable us to say yes, to enable us to have faith. So kadosh goes before anything and everything that we do. And it is unearned and undeserved and unlimited and unmerited. It is God's unmerited favor. That's what grace is. God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned, undeservable love and favor. It is a free gift given by God due to the merits and mercy of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift of God given not because of us and our goodness, for we don't have any goodness. It's given entirely because of Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. One of the acronyms I've seen created for the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, is God's riches at Christ's expense. We have received wonderful, amazing, unlimited riches from God at the expense of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what grace is. It is undeserved, it is unearned and unearnable. We do not merit it. In fact, we merit the exact opposite. But because of Jesus Christ, because of who he is and what he has done for us, we receive the unearned, unlimited, wonderful grace and favor of God. I love grace. I dated a girl named Grace once. She was wonderful. She was a lot of fun. And she was gracious, too. And I had an aunt named Grace. And my aunt named Grace was really typical of what grace is. Grace was huge. And when you would run up to Grace and you throw your arms around her legs, she would engulf you. And you were surrounded by her. And you knew you were loved as she cuddled you into her arms. That's what God's grace is. Enfolding love, gathering you in. Sadly, some people seem to think that they don't need grace. That they can't possibly need grace. They're already good enough as they are. I don't need to change. I don't need to have God's grace. Or worse, they think, okay, I need a little grace, and you need a little grace, and you need a little grace, and you need a little grace, but we're not going to give grace to her, or him, or her, or him, or her, and especially not to him over there, hidden behind that tree. Not any to him. Sorry, friends. We all need an awful lot of grace. An unbelievable, unmeasurable amount of grace. And there's not a single one of us, regardless of what we've done, no, regardless of who we are, there's not a single one of us who can't receive it. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world without limitation. And that means that when God offers you grace, all you have to do is say, yeah, thank you, and it's yours. Well, don't you have to earn it? The essence of grace is that you can't earn it. You simply receive it. That's what the means of grace are about. They're not just rituals that the church does because they're neat. They are tools and instruments to enable us to receive grace, to empower us to receive grace. They are conduits through which grace comes to us. When we read Holy Scripture, God's word is communicated to us. God's grace comes to us. When we pray intercessory prayers for others. We pray for ourselves and our own concerns. God's grace is conveyed to us in prayer. When we sing hymns and worship, God's grace, God's unearned, unmerited favor comes flowing to us. When we come to the table of the Lord and eat and drink with faith, God's grace flows to us and through us to transform us. The means of grace are instruments by which we receive grace. Well, that's all good, but I think justice is important. I think you ought to get what you deserve. That's the essence of the definition of the word justice. I've told the story about how what the difference is between justice, mercy, and grace, haven't I? Justice is you're driving down the road going 25 miles per hour above the speed limit, and a cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket. That's justice. Mercy is you're going down the road going 15 miles per hour above the speed limit, and a cop pulls you over and gives you a warning. That's mercy. But grace is where you're going down the road and 50 miles per hour in a school zone and pass a bus with the blinking lights on it saying you got to stop both ways, and the cop pulls you over and gives you $100. That's grace, friends. Justice. Getting what you deserve. And we want justice, but we don't want justice. We want justice, but tempered justice, because we know we deserve. We deserve punishment. Mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. We like mercy. I like it when that cop pulls you over and you get a warning. Did you know that your light's out, sir? Oh, thank you. I did not realize that. Yeah, I knew it's been out for 3 weeks. But thank you, sir. I'll get that changed tomorrow. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. What you haven't merited, what you can't possibly earn, but you receive precisely because you need it. That's charis. That's grace. And that's the essential essence of who God is. The one who loves and gives, not because we deserve it, not because we merit it, but because of who God is. As the one who loves, and because of our need to receive it. That's grace. And God isn't stingy with grace. I mean, if humans were to invent this religion, we wouldn't make grace easy to get. We would mete it out in tiny, itty-bitty little packets. You need how much grace? Okay. Are you sure you need that much? No, I don't think you need. We'd have an accountant system where we would say, okay, you need 4.3 units of grace. Don't give him 4.4, and certainly don't give him 4.5, and maybe he can get by with 4.0, okay? No, that's how we would come up with grace. If we were to invent this religion, we would say grace needs to be limited so that nobody gets too much. We would have to have guidelines by which grace is distributed so that no one gets too much. But not God. Not God. God isn't stingy with grace. From His fullness. From His fullness. From Jesus' fullness, we have received grace upon grace. John chapter 1 verse 16 is probably my favorite verse in the entire New Testament. From His fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Fullness is an interesting word. It translates the Greek word pleroma. And pleroma means, yes, fullness. It means overabundant fullness. It means totality, totally full. It means cup runneth over kind of fullness. It means the kind of fullness that you feel after Christmas Day dinner, when you've eaten all the food you're going to eat and you have had all the dessert you're going to have, and you settle down on that couch to watch the Christmas Story or whatever movie or the game you're going to watch, and you're sitting there and you feel overstuffed and you can't stand it, and you reach down hoping no one's going to see you as you unbuckle your belt to give yourself some extra room. That fullness about to burst, that's pleroma. And we have received from Jesus' overabundant fullness grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Grace upon 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 grace. Without any limit, without any limitation, we have received God's overabundant layer upon layer, grace upon grace upon grace, from the fullness of Jesus' very nature, from the fullness of His love, from the fullness of His presence, from the fullness of His nature. We have received charis upon charis, grace upon grace, unearned, undeserved, unmerited, and unmeritable favor from God. And that proclamation is the core functionality of the Epiphany Christian message. We are called to share and to proclaim the light of God's love. And the essence of grace functioning in our lives, this unearned, unmerited favor, is the love of God. That we are called not just to drink in and hoard to ourselves, mine, mine, mine. No. We're called to share it. Not hoard it to ourselves, but share it with others. Share it with those that we meet day by day. Share it with those who cut us off on the road as we're going to work. Share it with those who bug us on those telephone calls that you get from solicitors all the time. You know, you don't want to, they trick you into answering the call, and you answer it, and you looked at your photo, your caller ID, and you think, this is someone I might know. And you answer the phone, and it turns out, this is someone from the thus and such party, and we're trying to raise money. And, you know, sometimes you just want to, you know, tempted to say something really awful and hang up the phone. No. Share grace with them, too. Share grace with the persons seated next to you in the pews. Ooh. Share grace with the person seated in the pews across from you that you didn't want to sit next to. Ooh, Greg, now you're starting to meddle a little bit, you know. I mean, it's okay when you're dealing with us, and you're okay when I'm dealing with my family, but do I really have to share grace with them? Uh-huh. You got to share grace with them. Over here, yeah, you got to share grace with them. The unearned, unlimited, undeserved, unmerited love and favor of God. We got to share grace with others. Even people we might not like? Yeah. Even people who've hurt us? Yeah. Even people who've disappointed us? Yeah. Well, why? Because of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is and who Jesus calls us to be. My prayer for us in 2014 is that we will be a community and a people of faith and grace. A community that shares its faith gracefully. A community that shares the grace of God with others. A community that shares the grace of God with all. It's a calling for all of us, not just this church, not just the church universal. That's a calling for you and you, and you and you and me. It's a calling for us all. grace upon grace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take your bulletins and turn to the covenant prayer in the Wesley tradition. We will be praying this today in the place of our normal confession of sin. You'll find this in your bulletins. And would you pray with me? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. By your grace you have called and empowered us to be the light of the world, a living expression of the gospel of Jesus Christ for this broken and hurting world. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Gracious Father, in your divine mercy, you sent the Word, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was raised as one of us, growing to adulthood amidst the joys and difficulties of this life. He shared our hopes and our dreams, our tears and our pains, and in the fullness of time was anointed by the Spirit to preach good news to the poor. In his ministry, he proclaimed release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. He set at liberty those who are oppressed, and he announced that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and then further expressed the amazing love of God by stretching out his arms on the hardwood of the cross and dying for the sins of the whole world. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace and have been called to share God's love with all. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outward blood.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2014 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.